Is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your host,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea.
And Scott!
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody in between, your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. This is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the heavyweight primate, your blue-collar scholar, the impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I am joined by...
Scott. I thought you were going to play the clip.
Scott!
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a little slow on the fucking upkeep, you know.
That's not a
it's
problem.
It's been a long day. We are live, Scotty, on Rant EM Radio. Rant Entertainment Media is the place. Always part of the Shining Wizards Network. It is Friday. It is, what is it, April the 15th, I believe, 2016.
Yeah, IRS and, day.
Yeah, pay your taxes, y'all. Pay your taxes.
Or well, get yours.
Oh, yeah, get go you. Get your money. My shit was gone.
When yeah.
when you're a homeowner and you're married, you don't even see that money. It's like, I used it for this. And, where's my tax money? Oh, you know, we used it for this and that. You know, and then you're a fucking laundry list of stuff that you needed to get done when you didn't have money.
I got my hair done, got my nails done. There's nothing left.
Well, you know what? That stuff I throw at her all the time. So I mean, she's not that kind of person. I mean, she will do it, but I mean, but normally it's like, well, we had to pay the car note and the mortgage was late. Da da da. And like you get this whole fucking jigamagig story. I'm like, you know what? Just do what you got to do. As long as I can wake up and with a roof over my head and I have enough car fare to get to work, you know.
I hear you.
So that's where we are now, and You know, it's been a long week. Have you been with your, was it Dark Souls that you're playing there?
Yeah. Oh, I had to restart because I killed an NPC that I shouldn't have, so I had to restart it.
An NPC, what, a non-playing character, or?
Yeah.
See, I was talking about this with Scott the other day. The last, like, role-playing game I played, like, on a video game system, oh, boy. Was it one of the Final Fantasies? I'm not sure. I know I was big into, like, Chrono Trigger back in the day when we were hanging out.
Yeah, that was Final Fantasy VII back then, too.
Yeah. I you know, the RPGs, I mean, I did that DC Online with PS3 for a minute, but then it got, like, too complicated, and the server kept freezing up on me. And you know, I tried, like, my cousin plays the online Star Wars thing and World of Warcraft. I can't see myself paying monthly fees for these fucking video games.
Nah.
I can't. And, like, I pay for Netflix. I pay for the network. I pay for Skype. There's so much coming out of my bank account now from my other, you know, extracurricular activities. I was like, I can't justify it, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted, like, you know, and my boy, Mike G, thanks for good looking out, because I was looking for a role-playing game book that's out of print, and my boy sent me a PDF of it, my boy Mike G, and he was like, yo, if you don't, you know, I know you don't want to pay for shit, but try this and try that. So he was sending me links, and I was like, man, I said, I just can't see myself paying for anything else. And I'm sure these games are amazing. I just don't want to dedicate, you know...
It's hours, man. You got to put in hours on these
games. Yeah, I can't, dude. I don't have the time. You know, I don't have the time between my Strat-O-Matic baseball and this shit, and I have the kid. I'm a mess.
Yeah, I mean, when I had my kids when they were young, I stopped playing video games for like 5 or 6, 7 years until they were, you know, hit. They're pretty much like 12, 13 when they could start taking care of themselves, and I got back into it.
Yeah.
But Dark Souls, that game is friggin' hard, dude. When you die and they give you a trophy saying, welcome to Dark Souls, you know you're in for a long night.
But you were playing that with Rick and all those guys, right?
Rick is playing the first one right now. I'm on PlayStation 4. They have Xboxes.
Oh, yeah.
But I have an Xbox 360 where I could go help him out. See, the cool thing about it is you're basically – it's like – I was explaining to you. It's like Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
You got to do this whole thing, go through all these worlds, kill all these bosses – and then basically unite the whole world to break the curse over it. But you're alone. But now you can summon people to help you, which some people do it by themselves and it takes forever. But, you know, you can summon people. But if you're with friends, like the other night I was playing with my friend Vanessa. And she was like, oh, I'm at this boss. I'm like, go to this spot. I put down my sign, summon me. And you can summon your friends to come help you.
Oh, yeah. It's like Final Fantasy.
Yeah. But when you beat the boss, they go back to their own world. And then you continue on
gotcha.
Your own until the next point.
Gotcha. It seems fun, but it seems like there's too much to get involved. See, Nature Boy says Call of Duty. I can't get into those military games, man. I played, what was the one that was for PlayStation, the regular PlayStation with the...
Unreal?
No, the one with the dude, the snake guy. What the hell was it?
Oh,
Metal Gear, yeah. Somebody chipped my PlayStation. I was banging this chick in your neighborhood, actually. She was from your neighborhood, from 101st Avenue.
Nice.
And she had a homeboy who was like this, this was like in the early 90s, man. When did Titanic come out?
Like 96, 97?
Yeah. So this dude was like bootlegging games and like chipping PlayStations. So he took my PlayStation one night while I was tapping her. And in the next room, he was like, oh, I'll tell your boyfriend I'll take care of it for him because he's such a cool guy. And the next morning, I woke up from this chick's bed and I had like a chipped PlayStation and like a stack of games, burnt to games. I'm like, wow, I had all these Japanese games and Metal Gear Solid. And dude, I played that to the point where I was twitching. And my hands were shaking. I couldn't stop playing. I had to get off of it. I was like a junkie.
Yeah. But see, the thing that kills me with like Call of Duty and games like that is you got these 12-year-old kids that sit online all day.
Well, the same thing with the sports games, bro. When I first started playing online with the 360 with NHL and Madden, I don't like getting humbled by a fucking 10-year-old, man. And
no.
I remember one time, this is funny, I was playing NHL and there was these French-Canadian kids, and they were shit-talking in French, and there was two of them playing against me. Like, they had the same team, but they were sharing players or whatever.
Right.
And they were beating me, like, 3-0, and they were like, oh, and they were fucking their stupid French fucking accents.
Oh, pass the poutine.
Right, so I was like, you know what, motherfucker? I just made a couple of adjustments, and I was like, I scored, like, 7 goals unanswered on them. And I was like, that's how you get down. And I'm like, I went, oh, 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 and I fucking logged off, you fucking, you French fuck. Anyway, I have nothing but love for the French, but you guys are fucking terrible losers in hockey, and, you know, you make good food, so. Either way, so it's been a long week otherwise. I do want to address the internet a little bit tonight, and I'm not, listen, this is not for somebody in particular, this is or a group of people, but I take a passive-aggressive approach when it comes to our pages. And I do that because I don't like people arguing over something that's so fucking minuscule, like wrestling, like, you know, some, you know, like something like this, you know. And I've seen people, like, fight to the point where they're, like, calling each other names and unfriending each other and, like, getting got involved in politics. And, like, I take a passive-aggressive approach, which is not in my and Scott knows me personally. That's not me in real life. I'm not passive-aggressive. I'll tell you right to your fucking face how it is. However, you don't see my face on the internet. Half of you don't even know who I am personally. A third of you don't even know who I am personally. So I don't want to... I use a passive-aggressive approach and play devil's advocate because I like to get a nice debate. I don't like to, like, say, well, your opinion's wrong or your opinion's stupid or your opinion's this. And I'm not going to apologize for what I say because fuck you. It's my page. And I'm an admin on the other page. You know what I'm saying? However, I will say that it's something that I want to, like, tone down a bit. I don't want people arguing about this, you know? And I've seen friends, like, not be friends anymore because of wrestling. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, who
Castle Slam.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, Castle Slam. And then, like, the shit with TNA, I was like, first of all, nobody knows for sure what goes on. I mean, if you live and die by a Meltzer dirt sheet, where the fuck have you been? You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know... You don't know the politics. You know, you see what you make an interpretation or an opinion of what you read. And if all the stuff is negative, you're obviously going to put out a negative vibe, right? That's fine. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. It's no disrespect to anybody else. But I'm not going to. And I got some shit for it too on another podcast. My boys, razz me. They're like, oh, Phil just wants to have, you know. He wants to have all wrestling on TV, good or bad. And I was like, yeah, okay. Because there's nothing else fun on TV no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing fun. Like, what I don't watch, I vicariously live through the kid. You see how I do it. I don't have to technically explain anybody, but I love each and every one of you. I love all of my peers, and I love all the shows that I'm a part of and the two networks I'm a part of, and I just don't want to be misconstrued as the guy that's fucking, you know, that's not going to say anything negative. And I will on the show or another, if I call into somebody else's show, but I just try to get, like, I want to bring the best out. And a lot of you guys have some really good opinions and a lot of feedback on certain things, and opinions make the world go round. That's why we do this.
I thought it was fat bottom girls.
That, well, yeah. Well, it depends on... Yeah, see, I'm very lucky with that. So, I married one. But you know, you put yourself in the position where, like, people write to us all the time, dude. I mean, on Twitter and you know, Facebook Messenger and stuff like that. And they validate what we say. You know, you're going to get this now. Now that you're part of this show, you're going to get some people going, oh, I remember what Scott said 3 weeks ago, and... You know, either they'll like it or they'll hate it, and that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, and that's how it is. And you're going to see, like, the other day someone sent me a message that they quoted something I said stupid, you know, like something really funny or whatever. And you know me, I don't try to be funny all the time. It's just how my lexicon is. It's just the way I'm an extension of the show is the show now is an extension of who I am. You know?
It has to be.
Tony C wants to know if I love him. Of course I love you, man. You're my cousin. According to Tony C's job, we're cousins.
There you go.
Isn't that great? And I am Sicilian, so technically we are cousins.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't get that reference, if you don't get that reference, I'll just ring the bell now. But anyway, it's what it is, and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to argue with people. I'm just gonna scale back on getting involved in conversations because people don't know you; they just know what you type. You know what I'm saying?
You can't pick up tone of voice or inflection on the internet. You just read it.
Right.
And unfortunately, even I do it. And when I read something, I'm like, are they trying to be like sarcastic? How do they mean that? What's going on with that?
Right. And it gets misconstrued. Like even to our peers, like they'll say something, and it's not what you're saying; it's how you're saying it. Like, if you come off as a dick, you're going to be a dick to me for the remaining of our friendship. Whether I like you or not, people don't know me. Tank knows who I am. You know who I am personally,
right.
Physically, yep. Rage knows who I am. Rob from Thumbstick Ninjas, Choppy. It's a bunch of guys who know me personally.
Dave.
Yeah. Who?
The other guy.
Yeah. But he knows who I am too.
Shining Wizards, Tony.
Right. All the Wizards, the Midnight Jury guys. We've all hung out. So like, if they see something my type, they know how I'm talking. They a good example. Mike from the Midnight Jury. Mike is a huge Jets fan, like huge. And when they signed Michael Vick, he went on social media and he denounced the team. He is an animal lover. He's like, I'm not rooting for the Jets this year. As long as they have a fucking dog killer on their team, I'm not endorsing them. So I was like, well, what about, athletes, blah, 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 blah. And then, it turned into me, being a fucking dog killer supporter. I'm like, no, it's not like that. It's like, but we went back and forth, and it was a healthy argument until, and this was, did I meet him at this point? I think I met him at this point. So he knew, that's my point. Yes, he did meet me. So he knew that I was typing it in a certain way. I wasn't being facetious. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's my diatribe tonight. So if I pissed anybody off, I don't care. I do care and I don't care. That's my point. I'm passive aggressive on there because, that's why I have 700 people on my Facebook page and I had to unfollow about 300 of them. Family included, with the whole election thing, because people were sending me links telling me why I should vote for this person, why I should vote for that person. Then it got religious. People were sending me, please click this link, and so and so has fourth stage cancer. Please say an amen for him. And I'm like, I go to church every week. I pray for everybody.
Yeah,
I pray for people I don't like.
You because
gotta. Be, no, I don't have to.
Well, the Bible says love the sinner, hate the sin.
Right, exactly. So I'm at a different stage in my life. And if this becomes a job, I'm going to stop doing it. And I don't want to fight with people on the fucking internet. It's useless. Because half the people that talk shit would never say it to your face. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. And it's the same thing with the hardcore scene. You go on these New York hardcore pages or these punk rock pages, and these kids talk so much shit. And you go to shows, and you're like, and they're talking shit to the performers, and you're at the show, and they're like, and nobody says a word, So it's the same concept. I don't want to be that guy, And I'm endorsed by the biggest and baddest wrestling podcasts in the world right now, and they name drop us on a regular, and I can't be more grateful for that. So I feel like I have an obligation to you as my partner, to the fan base, to our networks, to our peers, and more importantly, to the people who listen to the show. So I don't want to be like that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you see something on the internet that you're not cool with, say it, explain yourself, and no one's going to dog you for your opinion. No one's going to disrespect you on my pages anyway.
Right. Don't be a CM Punk and take your ball and go home.
Yeah, because I was so pissed at one point, man. I had a conversation with somebody on the network, and I was like, you know what, man? I'm not even entertaining it, So, it is what it was. I'm not going to, And part of it was went out in the open. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I said this, this, and this, and you said that, that, and that, and whatever it is, and blah, 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 and let it, you know, just let it go. You know, it is what it is. So, that's my rant for this evening. No pun intended, because we're on a rant. and I didn't hear you on the rant, so because I knew you were playing your fucking Dark Souls.
Yeah, it came out that night. I was all into that.
Yeah. So. Nothing else really going on in terms of personal. I'm trying to think if I did anything productive. I know this weekend is very exciting because we got that record player I was telling you about.
Yeah.
So tomorrow is like National Record Day, and there's a record store. And
speaking of record stores, on my timeline, on my on this day time hop.
Yeah.
Bleaker Bob's closed 3 years ago this week.
It did. It did. I saw the same exact thing. Now, people,
for you guys that don't know, Bleaker Bob's was the store in Manhattan that had every underground record you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
It was, if you were into any type of music, it was the place to go. Everybody knew Bleaker Bob's.
Yeah. If you couldn't, if you went to a chain record store and you couldn't get, or like Sam Goody or The Wiz, which now I'm showing my age, Sam Goody, The Wiz, or Strawberries or whatever.
And FYE.
FYE. And you couldn't find let's just say you want to find an obscure band or a group or something like that, whatever genre it was, you couldn't find it in there, you would definitely find it at Bleaker Bob's.
And they would tell you, you would go to Tower Records in Manhattan, they'd be like, go to Bleaker Bob's.
Go to Bleaker Bob's, yeah. I remember going there with a chick who used to buy that Manic Panic hair dye.
How freaking Dan Struck.
Yeah. Oh, remember Dan?
With the purple ponytail. I still talk with Dan.
I just thought about those guys the other day, man. That's crazy. Dan used to wear that shit too. My friend Kim, my ex-girlfriend Chrissy would do that. A lot of people wore that shit. Manic Panic, yeah.
Yep,
so they sold hair dye. They sold pins and T-shirts. And I had one record store like that around my way when I was a kid. You know Numbers Records.
Yeah.
On Fresh Pond Road. And there was one in Corona, Queens as well.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. So, yeah, listen, man, we're getting old.
I learned a lot about music in that store.
I learned a lot about music that in that era between buying music, playing music, hanging out with you bubbleheads. There was this huge subculture, which is why we all got along so well back in the day, because, you know, we all listened to the same kind of music. It wasn't like we were all going to hardcore shows and punk shows and metal shows, but we all had hip hop tapes in our back pocket.
Exactly. We would go there listening to Run DMC to go friggin' into a mosh pit to come out to listen to some Beastie Boys and Beck and
right. And I think that's why I embraced the scene the way I did, because I grew up with hip hop and bootlegging, metal tapes from Columbia House, So it is what it is. So tomorrow's National Record Day. They're selling down a block. He's got a copy of I Am The Man for $10 on single, on record.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to pick that up. And they're putting out some, limited edition vinyl for the Metallica remastered all their albums, and they're putting them out on, these $150, album, deluxe box sets. I ain't messing with that. No. But, just some obscure shit down a block, so we'll go there. And I know Jungle Book comes out this weekend, so me and the kid are excited about that. That's pretty much it going on. I'm packing for my vacation already. I'm not leaving for another 2.5 weeks. But
put your shit away, man. This way, when the day comes, you grab it and go.
Yeah, Disney is like another world. So, and we're doing it. Well, we're gonna be down there for May 4th for Star Wars. So we got
nice.
The bracelets came. My Boba Fett shirt came in the mail the other day. My wife got the corny iron-on T-shirt. We're all going to be matching, we'll be that family,
Yeah, you know, to have any Disney-exclusive pops, you got to hook your boy up.
Yeah, if
not you, tank me.
Yeah. No, I'm going to pick up some of them. I feel like what happened was when I went to the Comic-Con, you had to get, a pass to get onto the Funko line.
Yeah,
me and Surfer, I had a list, right? So poor Surfer, he could barely walk, right?
Right.
The server's like, where do you want to go? And I'm like, yo, I want to go this, 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 and this. And he's already been there for 2 days at that point. So he was like, all right, no doubt. So he's hobbling through the aisles with me. We get to the fucking Funko thing, and I was like, there's no line here. So I go to the velvet rope, and this big Jamu comes out, and he goes, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to buy some pops. What are you doing? He's like, you can't come. You got to get a wristband. to get a wristband to come in here. I already paid to get in here. And Funko was like, you had to get a like a scheduled pass, and I'm like, and it was sold out. I'm like, how do you sell out of wristbands to when you already paid to get in here?
Yeah.
Like, it was such a it's such an ordeal. And that's when you had sent me the what do you call it? Not the Star Wars one, the Sand Trooper.
Yeah.
Because that's the one of the ones I wanted, and I saw it there. And I was like, oh, you know, the bitches, you know. But anyway, yeah, I'll definitely be on the lookout for that. I got to score you some Star Wars shit anyway, because I'm going to be down here for May the 4th. So.
You remember that that Ranker set you sent me a while back?
Yeah.
I pre-ordered it on a site. If you want to get into it, I'll send you the site off, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get – there's a bunch of them I saw. Like, there's so many now. I told Tank when he came over to, for Mania, I'm like, I'm going to have to – I have like 10 of them. I'm going to have to build some shelves just for that stuff now, you know.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, I got – and wifey finally found me Andre the Giant.
She did.
Walmart.com finally put it back in stock.
Yeah.
So she was like shopping for vacation. She's like, I'm going to Walmart. Do you need anything? I'm like, because we just came back from there. And I'm like, you know what? You're going on .com? Just for shits and giggles. See if you can find Andre again. She found Andre for me.
Nice.
So I got Andre coming in the mail soon. So that's pretty cool.
I picked
cool.
up Savage the other day from Hot Topic.
Oh, dope. Yeah, I got Macho Man. My sister got that for me for my birthday.
I'm going to have to go back and get the Warrior.
Yeah, I want that one, too. I want a bunch of them, dude. Hope they come out with the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
I'll get that, you know?
Yeah, they definitely should. I mean, if they were in the E, they should come out with them.
Yeah, yeah. What else is going on? Nothing really going on. I mean, besides wrestling, I mean, besides TNA with their nonsense.
Well, I got a couple of news stories here.
Yeah, you can pull up your news stories. And there was one question. We'll do that before the break. There was one question that our boy Felonious Punk from the UK, he asked a question on, you know, on the page, but it wasn't for the show. He just wanted to get everybody's opinion. And I'll ask – I said to him, I'm going to hold off and ask you on the show and get everybody's opinion, and we'll do that before we go to break. So, all right, so let's get into some news that you can use. The only news item I had – besides the WWE. Oh, you know what? I did want to say that I got the buy one, get one free shirts last week.
Oh, nice.
So wifey bought me, I don't know if she bought me the Sting one. She got me a Sting shirt and a Balor Club. So I'm all set with that. I'll wear that on vacation. You know, maybe I'll wear that for Harry and pose for it in the bathroom for him. I'll take a little selfie like the girls do. Look, I wear a Sting.
I got some news for you here you might be interested in.
All right, go ahead, man. Shoot.
On May 7th in Queens, New York Evolve Wrestling Place hosted two qualifying matches for the WWE Cruiserweight Tournament.
It's my first day back from vacation. But yeah, go ahead. Who's
Evolve, it's going to see the tag team champions of Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams square off against each other in the first one. And then the second one has up-and-comer Fred Yehi.
Yep.
I hope I said his name right. Against TJ Perkins.
There you go.
TJ Perkins was manic and suicide.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
So, yeah, there you go. Those boys in Queens, you know, get your tickets. Go see that spot.
Evolve puts on a good show, by the way.
And, you know, the participants already are Rich Swann, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa. The beast, Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa's the beast.
Noam Dar, Akira Tozawa, Ho-Ho Lun, and Lince Dorado.
Nice. So, guys, Evolve, iPay-per-view, or if you're in the area, go see it. Evolve puts on a fantastic show.
They're at La Boom in Queens, New York.
La Boom is in Elmhurst off the Boulevard, yeah. Speaking of shows, August 27th, I got the email this morning. Ring of Honor returns to Brooklyn. Field of Honor at MCU Park where the Cyclones play.
Nice.
You have to go there.
Yeah, I definitely will. I definitely got to make it up there and go to some shows.
Oh, Tank said I have a giant man 6-inch coming. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, just watch where he's coming.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't want no giant man splooge on me. Jesus. But, yeah, thank you, Tank. What else is going on? All right, go ahead, man. What else you got in the news?
You got the Authority was not listed for any upcoming events until the May 16th of Raw.
Gotcha.
But they were added, and Shane was not advertised either.
Mm-hmm.
But they were added to the European tour.
Mm-hmm.
So Triple H and Shane have been added to the European tour. Shane is booked for a SmackDown appearance April 19th in London.
Hello.
And Triple H has multiple appearances: Newcastle, Brussels, Malaga, Spain. And, you know, The Undertaker was also removed from the European dates, but was added back to the SmackDown taping in London and on the 20th in Newcastle.
Gotcha. So they're wish-washing the they're moving guys around, I guess, for different different parts of the world. They want to have, you know, they want to draw more people, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but you know, if you're gonna have some kind of angle with Shane coming up, you might as well put him on both shows.
Yeah, you might as well.
You know, The Undertaker, you might as well put him on SmackDown. It'll probably be the last time they ever see him anyway.
Yeah, if you guys were listening about 2 minutes before 9 o'clock, I played a version of Big Balls that was sang by Balls Mahoney, who sadly passed away the other day, 44 years old. ECW original. Balls was hands down one of the nicest people on the planet, like legit. Like, I remember I just... our friend Eddie from Shining Wizards, working for WrestlePro, working with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I went to go see a lot of Eddie's shows last year. I went to the Christmas show, and Balls was at the show. And if you're wearing a certain shirt, like, he didn't know me, like, hey, Phil, how are you? I was like, by association. So if I was with Tony or Matt or Kevin, and he saw me, he'd come over and shake my hand and give me a hug or whatever, and, you know, talk to me. And he was one of the nicest people on the planet. And
he died the day after his birthday.
Day after his 44th birthday. And for people who, I mean, listen, the hardcore wrestling is an acquired taste. Balls Mahoney was an ECW original. I'm not going to sit here and go, when wrestlers pass away, fans have a tendency of going, I was his biggest fan. I wasn't. He was very entertaining, though.
I was not a big Balls Mahoney fan, but like I said, he was there. I cheered him.
Yeah,
he was fun to watch. Him but and I wasn't. Yeah, it's not like I mark out for like American Alpha or AJ Styles. It's not that level of fandom.
Right, right. Them and the Dudleys were they just gelled together. Amazing matches. You know, but the guy he had a son that was Michael's age, so it's like that hits home for me too. You know, because I'm around his age, a couple years younger, and I'm like, oh man, I can't believe like
he broke into business at 15.
Yeah, he's a Jersey guy, Nutley, New Jersey. He was best friends with Chris Candido. That's how I found out, because Chris Candido's brother Johnny's on Twitter.
Yeah, he broke the news.
Yep, and I was on the bus on the way home Tuesday night, and I sent AA a link, and I'm like, yo, Balls Mahoney just passed away. So I posted Balls Mahoney. Balls sang his own song actually. The last, there were three different versions he used. He used AC/DC's version.
Of course.
He used another version that was recorded for the ECW CD, if you remember that, ECD, with the Sandman on the front.
Yeah.
And then he recorded one that he sang on his own. So that was his. I figured I'd play his because, you know. And it's sad when they die young, man. It's just, I don't know how he died. I know
I would say heart attack from reading the things, because
he was hooked on pain pills because he could barely walk at this point. His hips were bad, his knees were bad, elbows were bad. He had a bad fall like a couple of days prior, and his wife said that he went to go watch Jeopardy, and like me, he yells at the TV like when with the answers. Yeah. So I could see him sitting there yelling at the TV because that's what I do. So he's sitting there, and his wife said he had to like adjust himself to because he kept moving because he was in pain. And then shortly after he moved to the couch to watch TV, he stopped breathing. And then they had to come try to revive him. They performed CPR, and the medics got there, and he was like dead on arrival, apparently. So
sad.
Our condolences to Balls' family. It's just
to the Reshner family. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad, dude. Really fucking sad news. So that's why I played the tribute for him. So I hope you guys liked it. Go ahead, man. What else? What other news you got?
Oh, Jim Cornette spoke on the Ross Report about Nakamura and, you know, coming to, you know, WWE Universe.
Uh-huh.
He said, quote, I think it comes down to he'll be a superstar in NXT and people are going to love him whenever he appears with that brand. When he gets to the call to the main roster, it all depends on how Vince sees him.
Yeah.
What Vince is going to do with him. And he said, obviously, everything depends on how Vince sees something. He hasn't had the best track record, and I'll tell you, it's not a racist thing with international stars, whether it's luchadors, whether it's Japanese, or they're from Europe. Sometimes the chairman does not understand what they have meant to the world because he's so isolated in his own little world, and he tries to remake them to the image that he thinks they should have.
And this is Cornette telling Jim Ross this?
Yes. He's like, I think a guy like Nakamura is another guy like an Austin or a Lesnar, and essentially the more he's himself and he's allowed to do his thing, the better off he'll be.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, I was thinking about it, and, you know, watching the tournament, how many of these guys came to the WWE and they were gimmick-sized, you know, thrown into a gimmick. Look what they did to Terry Taylor.
You know what? And I'll piggyback that with friggin' Tyler Breeze. Vince hates Tyler Breeze, allegedly, right?
Yeah.
Triple H begged him to keep him on the fucking roster. And now, okay, you can keep him on the roster as long as he's a job guy. So this poor guy waited 5 years to come up from NXT in Florida. And he's just a job guy now.
Yep.
You know, because Vince don't like him. This is where I don't like the politics about it. This is where I wish, you know, 75-year-old Vince McMahon would just step down and, you know, and, like, at least give some kind of more creative control to Triple H and Stephanie. You know, because Triple H, you could tell, was on the right track in terms of building something. You know, with Nakamura is amazing. He was my favorite talent in New Japan. He's very charismatic. The guy can work his ass off. You know, he's still young enough where he's got a couple of years in him. I don't know what they would do with him. And I thought about this, too, when you were talking about it. I don't know what they would do with him if they brought him up.
Right now, I don't know.
I don't know what they would do with him. You know?
You put him in a feud with AJ. Let them go. You put them with Ambrose and Rollins and let them work it.
It's like old hat. Like, you throw them back with the New Japan guys. Now, you know, and I don't know. I don't know what you do with him. I feel like it's I feel he'd get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to make him a top guy. You can't make him a fucking, like, a Funaki or...
Oh, no. I don't think he would go for that. I think he would walk.
But that's the thing, man. He's getting paid main event money to be in NXT.
I know.
So, like, what I mean, as a performer, do you take the lighter schedule and just work, like, your ass off in a college gymnasium, or do you want to come up to the big time?
I'm sure he'd have no issue going back to New Japan.
Well, he's
contract.
He was getting paid a gazillion dollars. And he was getting endorsements over there. And if you've seen some of his commercials over there, Japanese people endorse everything. You know, so he was doing, like, cereal commercials and dance video game commercials. And, like, all those guys do all that stuff so they can, you know, make money. So, it depends on, and even, like, the mid-card guys, if they, you know, they pick up on a sponsor, it's almost like UFC. You know, like, UFC, they have, you know, you want to eat my energy bar? All right, put your name on your ass, on your tights, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'll put your name on that banner when they introduce you, like, behind you and stuff like that. So it's that mentality over there. And Dave was telling me that a while ago. I'm sorry. Is that guy, Dave? Yeah, Dave, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was telling me about that. And, because he was well-versed in that. And I didn't, you know, I was worried when they were going to get him. I wasn't worried about, you know, AJ. Yeah. I wasn't worried about
Gallows and Anderson.
That's where I was getting at, because I watched it. Tank and the rest of the guys, they tagged me in something. I didn't want to read it, and I was like, oh, fuck. I didn't want to see it. You know, I was like, Monday night, I was like, I knew something happened, because, like, my phone kept going off, and I'm like, oh, don't turn it on, Phil. Don't go into your notifications, Phil. As soon as I opened it, I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. You know? Because I don't get home till 10 o'clock, so
yeah.
I'm by the time I get home, I'm done. The third of the show is done. So I watched it. First thing I did was I fast-forwarded. I watched the opening segments, and I fast-forwarded commercials, and the Diva stuff bothered me. I didn't care about that. I fast-forwarded that. Dr. Phil stuff was okay. It was corny, but it was pretty funny at the same time.
Oh, him wooing back at Flair?
Yeah, yeah. That and the other thing, too, he did with... the fuck was it with the I forget already, but the other segment he did, not with Ric Flair. The Ric Flair one was funny, but I watched Gallows and Anderson, and I'm like, you know what, it's NWO 2.0.
yeah,
same way. Like, they came in from the crowd, they jumped they jumped the face team, you know, and they didn't.
Or if you want to, aces and eights.
Same thing. Yeah. You know what? It was a good angle. Another angle that went way too long, but if you would have kept it 6 months, it would have been fine.
Yep.
That was a good angle, aces and eights. If you would have kept it to the fucking, you know, and the ending was corny. You make Bully Ray the fucking leader, and you were beating on him for 3 weeks, a month.
Yeah.
That was corny, but I'm not going to get into that. I love Carl Anderson. Myself and Uncle Eddie from the Ham Radio Show. If you guys are fans of Uncle Eddie, go check him out. He's one of our friends. Really not one of the nicest guys on the planet. I shared a studio with him for about a year. Eddie is an amazing human being. He should be on fucking satellite radio because he's been doing radio for so long. But Eddie's a good dude. Eddie's a huge wrestling fan. So I had gotten tickets for Ring of Honor. And last minute, Eddie went with me and went to one of the Best of the Best cards, where it was a couple years ago. And we sat ringside almost. And Anderson fought Solo. And I was like, and I leaned over to Eddie. I'm like, this guy belongs on TV. You know, this guy belongs on fucking SmackDown or Raw. He's that good. Like, Carl Anderson's he's a good wrestler. I think all around solid. He can cut a decent promo. He's got a look to him, and he can work. We know Gallows can work.
Yeah.
With 7 different characters that he had. Uncle Festus, Super Festus, you know, Doc.
Luke Gallows himself.
Luke Gallows, yeah, Shared Society. I don't know if they're going to do if they do it right, it's going to be fun. Just the part of the invasion thing and you know, if this all pans out the way I want it to pan out, which it probably won't, but if it did, it'd be fun. And it's nice. It was cool. They got a bit of a weird reaction, you know, considering it was California. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe because it was California. I don't know.
Maybe not a lot of people know who they are.
That's crazy, man. How do you know? And this, listen, how many casual wrestling fans go to wrestling matches? Like, a third of that fucking crowd are all keyboard warriors in their mom's basements. They have to be.
Yeah.
Or on their phones or whatever shit, you know? How do you not know who these people are at this point? If this was 1990, I'd be like, all right, that's different. Then you shouldn't know, and you should wait for the next Pro Wrestling Illustrated to come out.
like tonight, our throwback, I'm not going to lie to you. Some of these people I did not know. Because, you know, back when this took place,
territories.
It wasn't publicized. If you weren't reading PWI, you didn't know who they were.
And the stuff that you, like, this card tonight, I didn't see it till Christmas time of 86 because it was on fucking UHF, you know? And it was Channel 68 with Uncle Floyd. Remember Uncle Floyd?
Yeah, and if you couldn't fucking get the right reception at that time, you weren't watching anything.
Oh. Yeah, well, I had a gimmick. When you know where I lived. I lived in those 6-family apartment buildings, right?
Yeah.
So we had a gimmick. We had a dude that went on the roof. I lived on the third floor my whole life until I moved out on my own. I was like 20-something years old. I moved out and got my own apartment. I lived with my mom for a little longer than I wanted to because I had to help her out with the bills and shit. So I go in there, and my boy who lived next door had this monster antenna. And he was like, you know, if I give you – and cable wire was new. Like, it was, you know, the coaxial cable, not the fiber optic. The coaxial cable was new at this point. This is before we even had cable boxes. He was like, yo, if I run this cable wire through the top of your window, through your mom's, like, drop ceiling, we can get you fucking, like, different channels. And I'm like, all right, cool, cool, cool. So once he plugged it into my TV, I never had to worry about those UHF channels. The Home Shopping Network came in crystal clear.
Nice.
Uncle Floyd came in crystal clear, and so did Florida Championship Wrestling and NWA Wrestling. So, and this was like, this is predating myself prior to 89. This is like 87, 88. I didn't have cable until 89, 90. So, it is what it is, but.
Got a couple more news stories real quick. Bray Wyatt tweaked his calf muscle in Milan, Italy on Tuesday night. Nothing has been said about the severity of the injury, how long he'll be out, just that he tweaked it in a match, and then the match had to be called off between him and Roman Reigns.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Speculation is also that Wade Barrett was not removed because of his contract, that they're actually going to break up the League of Nations. That's just more dirt sheet speculation, nothing in concrete stone. I could care less either way how that works out.
Right.
And the last thing is, we've touched on this in the past about how you tape too far in advance. Now, we've all made fun of TNA for taping 6-8 weeks in advance.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Lucha Underground has just finished filming season 3 while they're in the middle of season 2. Now, Ricochet, who's Prince Puma in Lucha Underground, wants to come to the WWE, but his contract states he cannot be on an American televised show besides Lucha Underground until the finale of season 3 goes off the air, which is in 2017, which is another year away.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
I read that. Do you have the MVP thing in your notes too?
I did not. I was going to bring that up next. I don't have it in the notes, but I was going to talk about that, how he was hired and then fired within a week for giving out promos.
I don't know, but like he was, like he went on YouTube, he apologized, and what the fuck is that all about?
Yeah. Let's see here. I'll pull that up real quick.
See, the problem I have with the recording stuff, you know, in advance is like, it's like you can't even enjoy it, like, because, you know, like, a good example, like, there's a couple of guys that are on TNA right now that are already out of the company.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, you know, like, back in the day where you didn't know, unless you got it from a newspaper or a magazine or something, you know?
Yeah. All right. According to WrestlingInc.com, what does it say here? A YouTube release by MVP said his contract was terminated due to him violating the terms of the deal. He stated that he interviewed members of the cast for his podcast, which was a conflict of the non-disclosure agreement he had. MVP took full responsibility issue and said that he wasted a big opportunity. MVP had started as an agent with the company towards the end of their season 2 tapings. MVP made an announcement that he had signed with Lucha Underground during last week's Well Mania 2 event. What we got here? The plan was to utilize MVP as an agent for the talents, with him eventually appearing in an on-screen role. I'll link the YouTube video for those in the chat room that want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely interesting what happened. And, you know, just how people got to read your contracts before you get into shit.
Yeah, at this point, you should have a lawyer. You know, like, yeah. I mean, at least like some kind of level entry kind of guy. If you've been in the business for a long time, I think you should have somebody or a manager or something looking over your stuff, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because they, like, back in the day, a lot of this ain't handshake stuff anymore, you know.
No.
Even like the per diem guys get contracts and have to look them over and stuff like that. So, all right, whatever it is what it is. I like Lucha Underground. I don't read spoilers for that because I binge watch that stuff.
So same here.
Yeah, so I don't even like. I don't even read anything related to that because I don't want to spoil myself. Same with SmackDown, man. I'm getting into SmackDown again in the last like 2-3 months. I won't read what you guys are posting sometimes because I just don't. You know, I don't want to see it. You know, I don't want to see it. You know, you could post on the page. You know, but like I won't, you know, unless something drastic happened or a title change or something, that I definitely want to know. But but I don't want to know. Like, I don't know. I'm still trying to kayfabe it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So anything else, partner?
Well, we got NXT has their new class.
Okay.
They signed one of your boys, the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, that big doofy guy, the 400-pound guy?
Yep, 6'9", 350.
He's a European guy, yeah. He had made the team, right? And they were thinking about putting him on a practice squad. And I don't know what happened, but the guy is... He's super huge. He's gifted like that, but I don't think... I think the problem was the playbook. I think he just couldn't read the playbook because he just wasn't fitting in with them, you know? And I don't think the NFL, any other team would pick him up. I mean, if you can't read this playbook, which is not that hard, you know, the Vikings don't run an obscure offense, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, but yeah. Listen, if he can do it, you know, there's another guy who's 400 pounds, some big heavy set black dude. He's coming into the draft or whatever. He's like, once he's done with football, he's going to wrestling. I'm like, okay, you know, you want to look for a size. I mean, yeah, it's not. Just because you're big don't mean you can make it anymore. You know, you have to come correct now. It ain't like back in the day, you know?
Yep.
So, what else you got?
That looks like it's about it on the terms of news. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, the whole TNA moving buildings and stuff. We've talked about that enough on the network.
Yeah, so. Listen, you know, they run, they're running out of their warehouse now. Whatever. If this is their demise, it is what it is. They've been saying, they've been calling for their demise for a fucking decade. So unless I see like a cease and desist order from the fucking, unless I see like an eviction notice online from on Dixie Carter's office there, you know, it is what it is. Nature Boy is putting, oh, he's a Cowboy fan. Nate, you know what? I'm so happy this year because my Vikings play on Halloween, they play on Christmas Eve, and they play on New Year's Day. And they're going to be local, like they're going to be in Philly. So I might go to all Washington, depends on my funds. But yeah, it's gonna be a fun year. New stadium too. So
yeah, and oh, also in that new class is the big tag team from Australia, the Mighty Don't Kneel.
Yeah, from Noah. Those guys are slick, dude. I've seen them in New Japan. They're fucking good. Those kids, the Australian kids. I want them to do well.
It's five guys, five girls.
Right.
One girl got huge fucking hair.
Hair,
like big old like Brooklyn hair.
Oh, like Lisa Nicole Jam hair.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Does she wear slouch socks?
No, she's got on no socks. She's just wearing. They're all wearing spandex. All the girls.
Yeah.
I'll post a link to it in the chat room.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Well, we're in the chat room. Let's give it a shout out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Say hello to who's in the chat room. Oh, Shining Wizards Tony in there.
Shining Wizards Tony's up in there with Maddie Legend.
Oh, let me play Maddie Legend's fucking sound here. Hold on.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
You mentioned Nature Boy. I saw a pastor in there earlier.
Play something for Nature Boy. Hold on a minute.
When you get on Space Mountain, you'll be like this.
Tank?
Oh, Tank, yeah. Tank's a jockass.
Are you trying to tell me my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you jockass!
Pastor was in there earlier.
Jesus Christ is my nigga.
That's right.
There you go.
All right. We're going to cover all our bases tonight, or what?
It sounds good so far.
All right. Anything else you wanna plug or talk about before we go to a break, or...
Let's hit the break. Let's... You know, drain the lizard, get smoke, get a drink. There we go.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. All right.
Stay tuned because we got a nice little, well, a big ass tournament coming up.
Yeah, this is fun. And the actual anniversary for it is next week, but I won't do it tonight. So it is what it is. AC's in the chat room. How are you, sir?
And big AC stepping in.
Popped in to say holla, holla, holla. All right, then, listen.
Teddy Long's in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on rantemradio.com, as always, part of the Shining Wizards Network. And let's plug our friends and play some noise, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Four hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have four different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Board hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you! Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, The Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
As played that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He said he only smacked her once,
but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying,
did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, Wax.
That was all right. So disrespectful.
Alright.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, out. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever question your manhood.
Trying to help
no,
out.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my...
Sorry about that with the commercials. I want to play the Midnight Jury twice, you know? Even though I love them. My iTunes is all messed up. I gotta configure that. I think it's just a setting. Alright. Stuff my face with ice cream. Walmart's got good ice cream.
Yeah.
This bunny trail shit, it's really good.
You know, for AA, yesterday at work, we had like 3 ice cream days. And
that had the ice cream truck come around. I remember him saying he can't find them anymore, but I got one of them old school chocolate eclairs. Oh, so good.
Oh, so it was a good humor truck.
He had good humor eyes. Yeah. It was funny. It wasn't like they used to come around. It was like a converted ambulance into an ice cream truck.
My first big money paying job was I worked when I was 12, like in the deli, cutting boxes.
Yeah.
But when I was 14, or 13, forget. I worked on a good humor truck.
Nice.
The whole summer. And I got free ice cream, which is, of course, I ate the wrestling bars, of course, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I worked like 12 hours a day.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was good humor. So it wasn't a soft serve, which I prefer soft serve.
I was talking to some guy out in Philly the other day at work, and he must have been out on his porch or something, but in the background, I'm like, yo, is that a fucking Mr. Softy truck I hear? He's like, yeah. He's like, where you from? You from Philly? You know Mr. Softy?
So do I know Mr. Softy? I went to school with his mother.
Right?
You know?
Jeez, Mr. Softy. Love Mr. Softy ice cream trucks.
What's funny about New York, I don't know about other cities, but fucking the first warm day of the new season, whatever it is, even if it gets cold the next day, like a couple weeks ago we had like that stretch was like 2-3 days, it was 70 degrees.
Ice cream truck was out.
The next day it was 20 degrees, fucking rain, sleet.
You ain't seen them since.
Nah, I ain't seen them since. So, I guarantee you, like, Monday, it's supposed to be 70 here, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you'll be in Mr. Silver truck somewhere. I mean, yeah. I'll be at work, but... So, anyway, we're back. Stuff in my face here, I'm sorry. Just, you gotta do what you gotta do. But, yeah, good. The fucking ice cream is good, man. Bunny Trail, whatever the hell it's called. And they come in these new containers now. Where it's like, it's not that cardboard shit no more, you know?
Right.
It's like a plastic lid and a plastic container. Yeah, so that's like, oh, that's good. You can actually see the ice cream. You have to, like, it's not a surprise. You open it up and it's freezer burn, you know?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Phil and Scott. We are live, rantamradio.com. And we got some fun tonight.
A 24-team tournament.
Yeah.
With two title matches thrown in the middle of it.
So, the genesis of this is that the Crockett family, who ran Mid-Atlantic, part of the NWA, they wanted to honor their dad, who passed away, Jim Crockett Sr., and have a tournament in his name. Kayfabe winner gets $1 million. That obviously didn't happen. But
they got a nice trophy. No $1 million.
Right. Right. And it was... Here's the thing. I could tell... We're going to talk about the build-up to this. And I wish... I was telling Scott today, I found on... If you go on the network... And go to the NWA Championship Wrestling. If you go from March of 86 to April of 86, it's the entire build-up. There are so many feuds going on in between this tournament. Okay? And I'll get into some of it as we go along. But there's so much to absorb that we probably have to do another podcast, another show just for this tournament. Just for the sub... plots, like the build-ups to some of the matches. Because you had some teams that were going for individual titles and the tag team tournament. They had, and we'll talk about Flair in a minute too, where he was actually in the tournament, then he was removed so he could defend the title, his world title, and which was the genesis of Arn and Tully at that point. Yeah. And we'll get into that in a little while. And, let's get into it, man. Let's
With the 24 teams, 8 of them were given buys into the second round, making basically the first round the qualifier.
All right, well, let's kick off our let's play our little bit here, a little gimmick.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right. Now, before we get into the brackets, do you want to play? I have two clips. I have one clip that announces the tournament, and I have one clip that announces the teams. So do you want me to play both, or you want to wait?
Let's do the announcement of the tournament, because as we go through the matches, we'll be announcing the teams.
All right, so let's take you now to the executive office of Jim Crockett Promotions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the press, for being with us this afternoon. For over 50 years, the Jim Crockett organization has insisted on presenting the finest in quality and exciting spectator entertainment. For the last number of years, its founder, the late Jim Crockett Sr., brought to millions of fans the finest in professional wrestling throughout this country. This tradition of excellence and this highest standards of competition continues under the able direction of his family. Today, we're pleased to announce the selection of the host city for the 1986 James Crockett Sr. Memorial Cup, featuring the top talent in professional wrestling. After a lengthy review of the many cities bidding for this fine event, that final decision was made, and New Orleans, Louisiana was selected. We're here to present some of the details regarding that stellar competition, its all-star participants, and ticket information we know that all our wrestling fans will want to hear. With us today is the family of Mr. Crockett, including David, Jackie, Francis, and the president of our company, James Crockett, Jr. But first, it is my sincere privilege to present the wife of our founder, Mrs. James Crockett, Sr. Mrs. Crockett?
Thank you. I and my family are very honored to have this tag team tournament named after my late husband, Jim Crockett. He was one of the original founders of the National Wrestling Alliance, and we wish for the Superdome in New Orleans a big success on the first annual Jim Crockett, Sr. Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament. And we look forward to possibly having next year's tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a word from the Executive Vice President of the New Orleans Superdome, Mr. Bob Johnson.
We at the Superdome feel that we have the finest sports facility in the world.
We at the Superdome.
Most recently playing host to the Super Bowl 20.
I sound monotone.
That was the third Super Bowl to be held here. And we have another one scheduled in 1990.
Got a big red tie.
Also, we annually host the Sugar Bowl, the Bayou Classic, the world's largest carnival celebration indoors. We certainly feel that the only place in the world to have the inaugural Jim Crockett Sr. Memorial Cup Tag Team Championship Tournament would be in the Louisiana Superdome.
He forgot to mention the crowd.
And now to give us details on this great event is the event coordinator for Jim Crockett Promotions Incorporated, Mr. Robert Garner. Rob?
Who's the only one to get an applause?
Yeah,
thank
three guys.
Thank you very much. The Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup will consist of 24 tag teams.
Well, they found Waldo.
Competing in two rounds of competition. The opening round will begin Saturday, April 19th at 12 noon. The final round will begin that evening at 7:30 p.m. Tournament and ticket information can be obtained through two toll-free telephone numbers.
We'll go to Bob's
outside
record store.
Outside the state of Louisiana, 1-800-535-5151.
Yeah.
And inside the state of Louisiana, 1-800-228-3944. The National Wrestling Alliance requested Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine be responsible for seating the teams in the tournament. Here representing Pro Wrestling Illustrated is senior editor Bill Apter to announce the top 10 seeds.
Thank you very much. These top 10 seeds of the 24-team field for the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup and the $1 million were prepared by the editors of Pro Wrestling Illustrated on March 9th. The top 10 seeds are, in the order of seeding, the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, America's Team, Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA, the National Wrestling Alliance World Tag Team Champions, the Midnight Express, NWA World Champion Ric Flair and World TV Champion Arn Anderson, from Canada, former AWA Champion Rick Martel and Canadian International Champion Dino Bravo, the Rock and Roll Express, from Japan, Tiger Mask and former NWA champion Giant Baba. Also entering the tournament are the Koloffs from the Eastern Bloc. From Australia, the Kiwi Sheepherders. And finally, number 10, the Mid-South Tag Team Champions, Ted DiBiase and Steve Williams. Thank you.
that changed.
Yeah, that did change. Dusty Rhodes gets removed, replaced by Ronnie Garvin. Okay. Ric Flair gets removed so he could defend the title against Dusty.
And Tully slides in.
And Tully slides in, which is the genesis of Tully and Arn. Because at this point, Ole Anderson was hurt. He was out. So, you know, let's go back to that real quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present the president of the Universal Wrestling Federation, Mr. Bill Watts.
Thank you. You know, anybody that's been involved in wrestling knows
you could have took your hat off, Dick.
Family. And certainly, we were fortunate enough to start a tradition with wrestling in the Superdome. And it's become one of the greatest spectator events in the world today, and we were very pleased to go together with the Superdome management and be able to put a bid in that got this fantastic tournament for our fans, for all the fans in the world. And you're talking about history being made, something that could never be done. This is the inaugural event, the first time ever that this cup will be at stake in $1 million with all the top teams in the world today. It's going to be the most fantastic spectator event, something that no one can afford to miss.
People taking notes.
We do have one thing that we want to add is that I have always had a dream that the Superdome would be the site of the NWA World's Championship changing hands. And we've put together another lucrative contract to give our fans the opportunity to see just such a situation. And we've had Ric Flair pull out of the tournament for the $1 million and the Jim Crockett Sr. Memorial Trophy.
Crockett.
To defend his world's heavyweight title against a guy that I've been fortunate enough to be associated with a long time, tag teamed with some, one of the first headliners of the young superstar of the first Superdome event ever. The man that I feel can beat Ric Flair, where the fans will see the world's title change hands. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I know, Bill, that's going to create some problems with some of the tag teams that are involved.
Well, we have studied this, and Magnum TA has chosen Ronnie Garvin to replace Dusty Rhodes because of his offensive ability, and Arn Anderson has taken Tully Blanchard on. However, the seedings will remain the same. Seedings will not change.
He said,
well, I think it's going to be the most fantastic thing ever. We will have a surprise main event for the afternoon session. This is the first time ever also that we've had a tournament of this magnitude where there'll have to be an afternoon event to have the first round matches to get them out of the way so that when the people come for the evening session, they'll be into the finals.
No shit,
we'll have
24
a surprise
teams,
main
Bill.
Event,
yeah.
Some great attractions. That'll be a $10 first come, first serve.
$10,
Scott. Afternoon session.
Wow.
That ticket will not be good that evening. And then that evening, of course, this fantastic match with all the top talent anybody's ever dreamed of seeing in a fantastic tag team tournament, plus the World's Heavyweight Championship, and we hope to have one other great main event for that also. Thank you.
$10.
$10, $20 gets you the whole day.
Yeah.
Okay, that's in 1986.
And you get to spend the whole day in the Superdome without having to have a hurricane force you.
Okay, so like Scott said, the brackets were, those are the top teams, and like I mentioned before, the nucleus of Tully and Arn, which for me is a big deal because I love those guys so much. And at that point, Tully Blanchard was the national heavyweight champion, and Double A Arn Anderson was the television champion, which is the prettiest belt in the world, by the way.
Now, and did mention top 10 teams, but only 8 of those teams got a bye into the second round.
Right,
so two of those teams had to wrestle in the first round.
So the teams that got first round byes were Anderson and Blanchard, Baba and Tiger Mask, Dino Bravo and Rick Martel, Ronnie Garvin and Magnum TA. But Magnum TA now has, because Dusty Rhodes is now a part of that, so Ronnie Garvin slides into that. The Midnight Express, who were the World Tag Team Champions, didn't get a top seed. Dennis Condrey and Beautiful Bobby Eaton. The Road Warriors got a top seed.
They were like the number one overall.
They were number one overall. The Rock and Roll Express got a bye in the first round, and so did the Russians.
Nikita.
The other teams that were involved, the Barbarian and Baron Von Raschke, part of Paul Jones' army. The Batten Twins were from Memphis, I believe. Black Bart, who was the Mid-Atlantic champion, and Jimmy Garvin. Bill Dundee and Buddy Landell, Nature Boy Buddy Landell, rest in peace, from Memphis. Also from Memphis, the fabulous ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane. Steve Kern, you know him as Skinner. Stan Lane went on to go on to be a successful tag team partner and champion with Beautiful Bobby after this. They became the second version of the Midnight Express. The Fantastics, Bobby Fulton, Tommy Rogers, rest in peace. Now, Jimmy Valiant was supposed to tag up with Pez Watley. Pez Watley turned on Jimmy Valiant, cut his hair, and that started. He became Shaska Watley, part of Paul Jones' army. Jimmy Valiant was at a tournament. The Raging Bull went out and got Hector Guerrero, I believe, as his partner.
The Raging Bull, no.
The Raging Bull, yeah, I believe so.
You didn't know because Chavo and Hector.
Chavo and Hector, right?
Yeah.
So it was Manny Fernandez. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. Manny Fernandez teamed up with Jimmy Valiant. He was supposed to team up with Pez Watley. And the Guerreros teamed up with each other. So I apologize about that. Sam Houston and Nelson Royal, the Italian Stallion, and Coco Beware from Memphis. Bobby Jaggers and Mike Miller from the Pacific Northwest. A returning Wahoo McDaniel and Mark Youngblood, former NWA Tag Team Champions. DJ Peterson and Brett Wayne. DJ Peterson became the Trooper. Buzz Sawyer and Rick Steiner from that was UWF. The Sheep Herders, Luke and Bush before they were the fucking Bushwhackers.
What a gimmick they gave them.
And another really good tag team underrated, Terry Taylor and Dr. Death Steve Williams, also from the UWF.
Dr. Death Steve Williams is probably my favorite old school wrestler. Dude was just a powerhouse. He'd kick your friggin' ass.
Yeah, Dr. Death Steve Williams was probably and he became one of the best gaijin wrestlers in Japan. Shortly after this, he didn't have a big run in the States because they, like Scott said, he was fantastic, but they underutilized him. So,
and he's one of the rare guys. He never came to the E or the F. He was never in the WWF.
No, not really.
Not even for a cup of coffee.
No, not for a cup of coffee. So, like Cowboy Bill Watts stated, it is. It's an afternoon and an evening session. The afternoon session booked 3,500 people at the Superdome in Louisiana, and then 13,000 for the evening, April 19th, 1986. So you had 16,500 total for this tournament. For a wrestling crowd in the 80s, that wasn't terrible.
No,
considering it was the mid-80s and it was a boom at this point.
And you're not going to sell out the Superdome for anything less than WrestleMania nowadays, right. Anyway.
We have the card. I gave Scott the card. We got off Daily Motion. Because only the 87 Croc Cup is on the network, I believe. So,
Daily Motion was a bitch. Kept freezing.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
But
it's,
if you could post it to the page if you want to.
Yeah,
I don't have the copy. I have the video cassette somewhere. I can't find it. I tried to look for it. Once I find it, I'll upload it and send it to you guys. So, of course, David Crockett and Tony Schiavone are calling the action. Your opening match, Chief Wahoo McDaniel and Jay Youngblood versus Bobby Jaggers and Mike Miller. Mike Miller and Bobby Jaggers, they're from Pacific Northwest, up there in the NWA region in the Pacific Northwest. Bobby Jagger was a good wrestler. Of course, he stuck up Mike Miller, but I didn't even know who Mike Miller was.
Me either.
Well, a little research. Him and Jaggers were a mid-card heel team in Portland, right? So, I mean, that was pretty much it. That's all I got on him. I really don't have anything. I knew Bobby Jaggers, but they were a heel team, and they were from Portland area. That's it. That's where they wrestled. It was an okay opening match. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Youngblood got beat on. Wahoo got the hot tag, chopped a bunch of motherfuckers, and then gets the win.
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah, he was laying down some chops, man. He served up the first plate of chops for the night.
Yeah,
Joey Styles.
Yeah, well, that's Wahoo McDaniels. That's his staple. Wahoo McDaniel was coming back into the territory at this point. And if you watch the build up to this, he was actually going to feud with Jimmy Garvin. So, and Jimmy Garvin was a big deal back then, back in the, you know, in this yeah. in the, at this time. Sam Houston and Nelson Royal. Sam Houston, the stepbrother, half-brother of Jake the Snake Roberts and Rockin' Robin, who can't sing in America the Beautiful. And he married Baby Doll, who was the valet at the time of Dusty Rhodes and formerly Tully Blanchard. So that's a little info for you there. Houston is well over in this region of the world.
Yeah.
No one else is.
Yeah, he got the win in this match at 8:17.
Right.
You know what I found weird? Though watching this, there was no announcers, no commentary at all.
No, because it's a raw feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
No, I just thought it was good because, I'm watching it, intensely watching it because they're not throwing out names of, some of these guys, I didn't know who the Batten twins were.
Right.
So I'm, trying to watch it, what's their first names? Right. I got to go to Wikipedia, look them up. So I'm trying to get it to find out their first names.
Sam Houston hits the Bulldog. The Battens would go on to have their best run in the Central States region, feuding with a very young Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, Midnight Rockers. So it's a little known fact, people who didn't know. And the next match was Jimmy Valiant and Manny Fernandez. I mentioned Jimmy Valiant. He's supposed to be with Shaska Watley, who's not in the tournament, taking on Baron Von Raschke and the Barbarian. I mentioned the Valiant was in a bit of feud. It did go on forever because it was a month. This match wasn't very good. Even though some of the players in there were good. Manny Fernandez is a great wrestler.
Jimmy V's Jimmy B, and the Barbarian.
Right, yeah, so he sunset flips the Barbarian at 2:30 for the win. Baron Von Raschke would go on to manage the Barbarian as partner Warlord in the WWF back in 88 after this. Oh, was that? What did they call him? The Baron? Remember he came out with the hood? I saw their first appearance in Madison Square Garden. He wore the big hood. This next match, first round, Dr. Death Steve Williams, your favorite wrestler from that time, and Terry Taylor versus Nature Boy Buddy Landell and Bill Dundee. Landell back in Memphis at this point. Dundee and Landell both regulars in Memphis and Mid-South, so it was hard to keep track because they were bouncing from territory to territory. Landell had a two-week run in UWF before heading out again. Williams was being groomed as the UWF's first big single star, like I mentioned before. Taylor is entrenched in the mid-card, which he shouldn't have been. And Taylor jawbreaks his way out and tags Doc, who promptly destroys Buddy Landell with a shoulder block.
Two of them.
Yeah. And then Landell does a rockish cell backflipping and handspringing across. And then, of course, the Oklahoma Stampede. So.
Yeah, running powerbomb. Boom. Done.
All right. Your next match, the Sheepherders with
versus
Jack.
Versus the Guerreros.
Yep, versus Los Guerreros. With Jack Victory, by the way. You guys know Jack Victory from ECW. And he was also part of the Pat O'Connor tournament was going on. He was the New Zealand team. Him and I forget the other guy's name already. But anyway, you want to take this one, Scott?
Yeah, I didn't write much down because they flip around the match. The Sheepherders used a double clothesline. A lot of action in and out of the ring. One was out, one was in, and they ran down the ropes and double clotheslined them. The ref was well out of position for this in the other corner trying to get one of the Guerreros out of there. And he had him for a 15 count off a double clothesline. I thought it was a poor finish to the match. Being that it wasn't, just he was laying there that long and he could have kicked out of that easily.
Yeah.
But it was very poorly sold. They could have picked him up and did a couple of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the Sheepherders got the win in advance of the second round.
Yep.
And then the next match, you got the Fantastics versus the Fabulous Ones.
This is probably the best match of the first round. Probably the best match of the first round, unless I'm wrong. Unless you...
I don't know. I kind of like the... We'll get into the next one.
This is my favorite. At one point, Lane spits on Rogers, tosses Fulton over the top rope when his back is turned. Double KO spot leads to a hot tag to Tommy Rogers. Drop kicks abound. And then he hits a double Naganaka. Fulton tags himself back in, and Rogers and backflips out of a backdrop suplex. That allows Bobby Fulton to finish with the O'Connor roll at 3 minutes. This is one of the best matches on the fucking first round. And these guys had such a feud, such a great feud. If you get it, if you could try to find them, please send them to me. You know, I want to see like the best of Fantastics and the fabulous ones. Man. Just a fantastic team, tag team battle they had. It was fantastic. All no pun intended, but it was fantastic.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, Coco Ware wasn't Coco Beware at this point. Any Italian Stallion versus Buzz Sawyer and Rick Steiner.
And he used C's instead of K's to spell Coco.
Right. Steiner had just dropped the Rob Rick Steiner moniker that he did during his rookie year. He's a rookie at this point. Coco was going back and forth between Memphis and UWF. Of course, he went on to WWF later on at that point.
Rick Steiner was huge in this
yes,
match.
He was. He was very big. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. I've said this before, and I mentioned this to you last week. Him and Matt Bourne were an amazing tag team. Buzz Sawyer was with J-Tex, with Kevin Sullivan, just with Great Muta. Buzz Sawyer, rest in peace, one of the most underrated wrestlers on the planet.
He was very powerful.
He was a maniac in and out of the ring, apparently. He lived the gimmick. He hits a...
Power slam
and misses the frog splash, but that power slam was pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, your next match was Brett Wayne Sawyer and DJ Peterson versus Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin. Brett Wayne is Buzz Sawyer's little brother and a fine wrestler in his own right. Of course, he was the light heavyweight champion. This is one of the time when nobody knew him.
It's funny, here they call him Brett Wayne, but in the card, in the video, they call him Brett Sawyer.
Yeah. And then, you know, DJ Peterson, jobber to the stars, UWF. Oddly enough, he was trained by midget wrestler Lord Littlebrook, if people didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a good wrestler. Jimmy Garvin finished up in AWA when he was associated with the Freebirds, but he wasn't a Freebird. I mentioned that last week. This was a good match.
Yeah.
Garvin finishes with a brainbuster at 2:30. Peterson would jump to Jim Crockett for a while, then WWF, before heading to the AWA, where he won the AWA tag team titles along with the Trooper, who's DJ Peterson. They'd be the final AWA tag team champions. The promotion closed later on that year. DJ Peterson died in a motorcycle accident in 1993. He was 33 years old. How about then? You want to go to second round?
Well, we won't go to the third round, but I'll go to the second.
Yeah, we got to go to the second round. Go ahead, open it up.
All right, first match of the night on the second round, first match, you have the Midnight Express versus Royal in Houston. Now, this was a good match. I mean, like you said, Sam Houston was over. Now you got the Midnight Express in there. The Midnight Express basically used a double team. Condrey got the pin. 1, 2, 3. They stopped giving out the times of these matches at that point. I don't remember much of the other action, but it was a fast-paced match. I mean, all these guys could work in there.
It was a short match. It was like 1 minute, 50 seconds, something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Then Magnum TA and Ronnie Garvin versus Sawyer and Steiner.
Yep. This was a good match.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Ronnie Garvin, but, I mean, at that point he was so hot.
I liked Ronnie Garvin, you know, he just would smack you to shit. He's the only guy who can bust somebody's chest open by chopping him.
He was mega stiff.
Yeah. He would chop, you know, I think he would chop down a tree with his bare hands, I swear to God.
He was, what do you call it? He was billed as brothers with Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
But in reality, he was his stepdad. Yeah, Jimmy Garvin, Ronnie Garvin was like 40 years old at this point. He was old,
yeah,
almost 40, and he was French-Canadian. He married Jimmy Garvin's mom, so they're actually stepbrother and son, stepson and stepdad. So, pretty weird, huh? But they were billed as brothers. That's how the gimmick was back in the day, if people who didn't know that. Little Phil Ray, a fun fact for you.
Basically, Garvin got the hot tag. He just started chopping people. He tags Magnum TA, who belly-to-bellies Rick Steiner for the win.
There you go.
The belly-to-belly.
That was Magnum TA's coup de grace.
Yeah. I never liked that as a finisher. I just never see how.
Like, a lot of bad finishes. Like, look at Tully Blanchard used the slingshot suplex back then as his finisher.
Yeah.
And Tully was amazing, dude.
He could have done a lot better than the
Fuck
slingshot
yeah,
suplex.
Fuck yeah, he could have.
Put a submission move on. You were a fucking technician, Tully.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. Hold on a second here. I'm just getting my audio ready for the end of the show. All right. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Carry
no
on. Hello.
Next match was the Road Warriors versus Wahoo McDaniel and Mark Youngblood.
Yeah.
Now, this match, there's one thing that stood out to me. I'm going to just jump right to the end because this is where it comes in. Hawk pinned Youngblood, but Wahoo came in and could have easily broken the pin up. But he didn't. He just stopped, and him and Animal just stared at each other like a sign of respect, which was really good. Because he could have easily just kicked Hawk right in the head to break it up.
Yeah. The Road Warriors had just came back into the promotion. They were in the AWA. And they didn't sell nothing outside of Wahoo's chop. That's it. Flying clothesline finishes that. And like Scott said, Wahoo looks very disinterested. That's what I wrote my notes. Wahoo looks disinterested.
I just put Wahoo could have broke it up but didn't respect with a question mark.
All right. Your next match?
Oh, this is one of your favorites, man. Take it.
Oh, Ivan and Nikita versus Johnny Valiant and Manny Fernandez.
Yeah.
Nikita Koloff is a fucking beast at this point.
Oh, he was huge, dude. Yes. He was fucking beast is the right word.
Yes. Manny misses a drop kick and plays face in the peril. Help me, help me, help me. He yanks Uncle Ivan. My son still calls him Uncle Ivan. He's like, this kid, he's got to stop hanging out with me. He yanks, and I wrote it in my notes, too. He's like, ooh, I was watching some clips today while I was cleaning the room. He's like, oh, look, it's Uncle Ivan. I'm like, and even when I got him, he signed Mikey's encyclopedia at one of the shows.
Yeah.
He goes, how come he didn't sign Uncle Ivan? I'm like, because only we call him Uncle Ivan. Only Nikita calls him Uncle Ivan. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Yeah, he yanks Uncle Ivan off the top rope, though he gets the hot tag to Jimmy V. And Valiant tries to pull out Ivan with the sleeper, but Nikita breaks up and destroys him with the sickle.
That was a sick sickle.
Outside Nikita Koloff's terrible Russian accent because he's from Minnesota. If anything else, he had an amazing clothesline and a good look to him.
Yeah. And he gave him that sickle from the outside.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And Ivan covers him for the win at 3:07.
Now, this match, the next match.
Well, Steve Williams, Terry Taylor, is supposed to fight Rick Martel and Dino Bravo.
Had appendicitis.
Yeah, the other guy who used to be on the show, it's his favorite wrestler. But truly not, but we like to bust his balls anyway.
Dude could bench press 765
pounds. Dino Bravo was an animal.
He was. He was huge.
Dino Bravo had appendicitis, like Scott said, so the Canadian team had to forfeit, so they get a bye into the next round. So then it comes to Rock and Roll Express versus the Sheep Herders. This is a decent match. I mean, you know.
Yeah. The Sheep Herders were crazy during this tournament, dude.
Well, that's the thing. That's that gimmick. And, when you're 15 years old and you see this, and then you see them a year and a half later licking people's faces, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of disheartening. But, you understood why.
Yeah.
But, it is what it is.
I mean, this wasn't even their best match of the night. It was a damn good one.
Nah, Rock and Roll Express, dude, Rock and Roll Express was so over. At this point, Ric Flair was giving Ricky Morton title matches while this was going on. So Ricky Morton they were feuding with the Midnight Express for the titles. They were feuding with the Horsemen. And then on top of that, Ricky Morton was getting title shots with Dusty Rhodes on house shows and events. So, I mean, the Rock and Roll Express were probably, and I'm going on record to say this, and you know I'm a big Road Warrior, Mark. They were more over than the Road Warriors at this point. They were, because the Road Warriors were doing back and forth. They were in Japan, AWA, Mid South, whatever. These guys were Jim Crockett, and that was it. They wrestled briefly in UWF and briefly in other promotions, but they were Jim Crockett mainstays. And the girls liked them so much, man. It was disgusting. They were so over. So over. To the point where Ric Flair, at this point, came out with a training bra and said, you know, your fan base wears these, and mine, I like them with a full sweater and an empty head, you know?
That's
one of Ric Flair's promos. But anyway, the Rock and Roll versus, I mean, it was like a, you know, it wasn't terrible. The flagpole gets involved. Silly booking because Jack Victory was right there in the ring where he should have been disqualified anyway.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it you had to do something to get it over. You know, it wasn't going to be, first of all, the sheep herders weren't very technical. So you weren't going to get a technical fucking dropkick hot tag match out of them. So you had to do something either to get disqualified or count it out. That booking was okay. Jack Victory in the ring, he should have been disqualified anyway, but again, I'm not. It's the 80s and that's how it was, you know?
Yep.
So, and the next match was awesome.
Tully and Arn versus the Fantastics.
Yeah.
I didn't take this one.
Now here's the thing. Arn and Tully, like I said, they didn't tag at all. Ric Flair leaving the tournament made way for arguably one of the best tag teams of pro wrestling ever. Tully blocks an atomic drop, reversing to his own. Rogers backs out of it and back drop kicks him. Arn Anderson's pounding the shit out of Tommy Rogers into hamburger meat.
He beat that boy senseless.
PS6 brawl erupts. Arn hits the gourd buster on Rogers for the 1-2 throw. No, just two. Arn goes for the slam on Rogers, but Fulton drop kicks them over for the win at 3:25. This might have been a bit of an upset, but the UWF was hosting a tournament, and the Fantastics were their tag team champions. And it was equal footing with Arn and Tully, but it looked fucking fantastic.
They should let them go a little bit longer than 3:25.
Well, again, there's 24 fucking teams.
Two shows. They could have given them 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the next match was Giant Baba and Tiger Mask, you know, straight from the Orient, versus Bart, Black Bart and Rugged, and Jimmy Garvin.
Baba was the former NWA champion. He was the liaison to American Wrestling, Old Japan, to Talent Exchange. If you wanted to go, you know, work for them, that's who you went to. You went to Baba. There was, I think, four different Tiger Masks, or six, but this was the second incarnation. This was Misawa. I think Misawa was the second Tiger Mask. I'm not sure. I should have looked it up before. I'm sorry. Chat room, if you can help me, who was the second Tiger Mask? I think it was Misawa. I'm not sure. Versus Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin. The fans have funny reactions to it, but Bart and Garvin are the heels. Tiger Mask doing all sorts of fucking high spots. For this day and age, it was, you know, unheard of what they were doing in Japan. So Bob and Tiger Mask, too, were foreigners and thus hated. They were hated automatically because it was the 80s. Bob doesn't do much but chop. But
no.
He was impressive anyway because he's a big boy. And he hits the big foot and gets the win.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, it was
Misawa,
Mitsuhara Misawa.
Yeah, guys, if you look Misawa, please. Midnight Express versus the Road Warriors.
Oh yeah, let's turn the page. We're in the quarterfinals, fellas.
In the quarterfinals, second round. Oh no, it's still second round. There's two more matches in the second round.
Was it? I got that as the last one.
No, second round. Midnight Express versus the Road Warriors. And then Ivan and Nikita versus Dr. Death and Terry Taylor. Then the quarterfinals. You know? So.
I got Road Warriors and Midnight Express in the quarterfinals.
You know what? I think my brackets are all messed up here. Hold on. I thought I had the bracket. Hold on. Quarterfinal. Yes, you're right. I apologize. You're right.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's not a problem.
Go ahead.
All right. So we start off with the Road Warriors versus the Midnight Express. Now, in the early going of this match, Midnight Express spent more time outside the ring than inside. Actually, every time he turned around, it was just getting, you know, running out of the ring because the Road Warriors were just manhandling them. No matter what they did, Hawk and Animal would come out on top. Midnight Express go for that finisher, which is he jumped off the ropes and he tossed them off the ropes and then shoved them down, but Hawk catches him. And then he kicked out of that. It looks like then Animal went for the he ran into the ropes and Jim Crockett nailed him with the racket and they win by DQ.
And, you know, it was not a big fan finish, but it makes it seem like the Midnights don't care about the Crockett Cup because they were the tag team champions.
Yeah, one thing I noticed in this match that I didn't notice in the first two was all the cigarette ads around the
arena. Oh, my God, yeah.
The Marlboro and Budweiser ads all around the arena.
Absolutely. Good call. Yeah, that was a big thing back then, man.
Yeah, that was probably one of the last, what was that, 86? So, yeah, that's about the last time they could stop putting them up in there.
Around that time, yeah.
Because then they started banning cigarettes everywhere at that point.
Yep. And what's the next match? Is Ivan and the Colos versus Terry Taylor and Steve Williams, right?
Yes. The finish of this match was basically they beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes with time limit draw.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with time limit draws, but if you're in a tournament, I hate that automatic buy.
Well, it's a draw. It means both teams are eliminated, though, right?
Yes.
Right. So
basically, the winner of the Garvin Magnum, Baba, and Tiger match got a buy into the finals. You know, and I'm not a fan of that. I always hated that. If you're doing a tournament, everybody should wrestle the same amount of matches. So, now, I love the time limit draws because back in the day, you know, you wrestled on TV for 10 minutes, you fought to a draw, the next one was 20 minutes, you fought to a draw, then you were building up for Last Man Standing, Iron Man matches, something. It was the storyline. But in a tournament, I always hated the double DQs, the double countouts, the time limit draws.
Right.
I was never a fan of those in a tournament.
I agree. In a tournament, I think it takes away from the actual, you know, the tournament. It takes away from the brackets. Like, you know,
yeah.
It happened in a wrestling classic. It happened in, I think, WrestleMania 4.
It happened in King of the Ring.
King of the Ring, yeah.
And it just takes away because that gives the one person, you know, on the other side of the bracket, that gives you the advantage over the next person that's got to wrestle that
extra
match. And
what sucks is that this is Steve Williams, Terry Taylor's home base. They wrestle for UWF that's their home. Yeah. That was their home base, and
Williams and Nikita beat the shit out of each other.
Well, that was the whole point.
After the bell went off,
yeah, that freaking Nikita had the bear hug on Terry Taylor. Taylor fights out, gets like the tag, but the ref don't see it. Typical 80s move.
Yep.
That allows Uncle Ivan to waffle Taylor for the two. Terry gets one last small package. Nikita nails him again with the sickle as time limit expires. But there was only 9:15 of the match shown. The match gets clipped.
Yep.
So, now, the next match was the Fantastics and the Sheepherders, right?
Oh, well, let me ask you a question. Who came out with the Russians and was helping them beat down Williams?
Oh, that was, wasn't Crusher Khrushchev. That was, I forgot his name now. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. I forget. Because Crusher Khrushchev was hurt.
Yeah, they came down after the match ended.
Yeah.
They still, like, Williams beat the shit out of Ivan, and then him and Nikita beat the shit out of each other until this guy came in and just beat down on Williams.
Yeah, and at this point, Nikita Koloff was, like, on the cusp of winning the U.S. title from then-champion Magnum T.A., who they were doing a series of chain matches coming up to this before right around this event, around this time. And the promos were like, you know, they would come out with the chain and it was just, you have to watch the build up. We can do an entire podcast on the build up to some of these matches. That's how much footage there was. I couldn't make clips of all this shit because we'd be here for 7 hours. So now the next match was the Fantastic versus Sheepherders. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, now, this was a pretty famous match because Dave Meltzer, at the time, gave it 5 stars in his Wrestling Observer newsletter. It's clipped, so it's really hard to tell if Dave was smoking reefer at this point, and it wasn't really that good. It's hard to, and, you know, was it really that good? If, you know, you don't hear anything. You know, it was a good match. It was okay.
From what I saw of it, it was okay.
Right, and they were rivals anyway, the Fantastics and the Sheepherders. So it made the match, you know, they're all friends, it made it look better. The ref gets bumped. Jack Victory tosses again the flagpole to Butch. Butch goes nuts on the Fantastics with it. Bobby Fulton takes it away from him, though starts stabbing the sheep herders with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, everybody was bleeding in this match.
Yeah, a lot of color in this match. Jack Victory takes a shot. The ref finally wakes up, calls for double DQ. Only 650 of it was shown. Wild Brawl erupts. Looks like one of the sheep herders' best matches. Five stars, you don't know. Wish we had the full.
Yeah, we got to try and locate this full match.
Yeah, I'm going to try to locate some of that stuff. Next match was Giant Baba and Tiger Mask, right, versus Ronnie Garvin and Magnum TA.
Yeah.
If you ever want to see Misawa take on Ronnie Garvin, this is a strong style. This is like a New Japan match.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Neither team was really, really made to wrestle. And wanted to adapt.
The only one that was wrestling was Magnum TA.
Pretty much. Magnum drop kicks Baba into a schoolboy for a two count. Tiger Mask gets off a high crossbody and then hits a running senton. I think it was a running senton.
Yeah.
And he goes up, but Magnum catches him with a belly to belly at 529. And Magnum and Ronnie Garvin. I'm reading Magnum Terry Allen and I'm reading Jimmy Garvin. There's so many Garvins and Magnums on my fucking page here. Garvin and Magnum move on to the finals.
Now, one thing that I don't know if you caught it, Baba had tagged in Tiger and Magnum tagged in Garvin. Now, Tiger and Garvin are fighting while TA and Baba start fighting. T.A. tries to pin Baba, who are both not legal men in the match, and the ref is sitting there counting.
Right. So the ref lost his, temporary insanity, lost his mind. In the chat room, yes, Pastor, I am getting old. I'm trying to do a lot of this by memory because I don't think reading off of, reading off my notes, obviously, but, some of the stuff I do, a lot of it I do by memory because I think it's more genuine. But yes, sir, I'm getting old, and I believe you're older than me, so let's, not by much, though, I don't think. So, I love you anyway.
Like 20 minutes.
It's great that we have a pastor in our group, man.
I know.
I think he just softens the blow of all the bad stuff that we do. And we don't really do a lot of bad stuff. I can't speak for you, but for me anyway.
I don't do bad stuff anymore. I'm a good kid.
All right. Then you get two title matches before the finals, which is cool.
Yeah.
The North American Championship.
Well, so, basically, both teams, there was no semifinals. Went from quarterfinals right to the finals.
Right. So now your final match would be the Road Warriors versus Magnum and Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah.
But you get two title matches, which is cool. The North American title, which is the UWF Championship. Jim Duggan was a champion, and Jim Duggan was part of the Rat Pack back then, with Ted DiBiase, Matt Bourne, those guys. Anything Mid-South, guys, please go back and try to find it on YouTube. It's amazing. We'll get the Mid-South disc WWE put out like 2 years ago. Scott, I can't tell you how awesome. If you haven't seen it, get the Mid-South stuff. It's fantastic. Uh-huh. Fantastic. And look up some of it on YouTube, and the network has some matches too. And he's fighting Dirty Dick Slater. Slater had won both North American and Mid-South TV titles, so he gave a TV title to Buzz Sawyer as a gift. That was the gift. Right. So this, of course, angered Bill Watts, who thought titles should be won and lost in the ring. Watts tricked Slater into defending the title against Jim Duggan. Of course, Slater lost, and Sawyer wouldn't give back the title, so he was screwed. This may be one of Slater's last Mid-South appearances because he was trying to win back the title. Duggan opens a can of whoop-ass on him,
yes,
gets dumped and thrown into the railing. Slater runs.
Oh, that guardrail.
Yes.
And it wasn't just like he got thrown in the guardrail.
He got bombarded, yeah.
It went like back and almost killed this like 9-year-old kid.
Yeah, there was no safety back then. When guys bumped, they bumped. They took real hard bumps.
Yeah.
Slater runs away and headbutts Duggan back into the ring. Duggan slugs his way back and got caught with an elbow to the head. Slater drops a flying elbow. 1, 2, 3. No. Duggan backdrops out of a pile driver. Gets up, gets tied in the rope. Slater moves in. The ref pulls him back. Duggan tries to extricate himself and with the finish in a 3-point charge at 10 minutes and 9 seconds. Typical Mid-South brawl. Duggan doesn't quite have the chemistry with Slater that Jake Roberts did earlier that year, because Jake Roberts had a sick feud with them. That was insane. Now, I want people to realize this. Jim Duggan was actually a phenomenal wrestler before he became Hacksaw. I want people to know that he had a very, very good career in Mid-South.
Before, a lot of people did.
Yes, yes, yes. And Bill Watts was an incredible promoter, FYI. So, again, do your homework. Mid-South, please, guys, get at it. Get at me on Facebook. I can talk Mid-South all day. Our friend Greg Klein, who wrote the Junkyard Dog book, he's been on our show twice. He's a Mid-South guy, too. We love talking Mid-South. It's something that I never saw until I was almost an adult, because we didn't have it here.
Right.
I was tape trading through wrestling magazines with kids in, like, Arkansas. So, anyway.
So, just on a off topic a little bit,
go ahead.
We were talking earlier about how Ivan basically sickled friggin' Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah, yeah.
I posted the link on our Turnbuckle Throwbacks page, and the picture showing is Ivan giving that sickle to
nice.
Valiant.
Nice. Nice. Go on the Facebook page. Scott put the link up. Go watch the card. There's no commentary. So you get to – it's raw footage, and it's good. Go watch it. Go watch it. Anyway, getting back to Mid-South. Go watch the Mid-South on the network. Get that Mid-South DVD. Get at me. If you guys have any Mid-South clips you want to share with me, please – oh, with Scott and I, please, by all means, do it.
Post them on the page, on
our page, on the Rants page. It's good stuff. It's quality stuff, guys. Quality. Your next match was for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, defending against the Bullet Woods, Dusty Rhodes, baby, with Baby Doll.
Baby Doll's in the corner.
That's right, baby. That's right, baby. Now, this actually had a little more action than their Starrcade matches, but we lose about 5 minutes of this match because of the tape, apparently. Dusty goes for a sleeper, then tries for a pin. Flair starts to come back. Dusty applies a figure four. Flair makes the ropes and begs off, but then he goes for a low blow with the Great Equalizer, you call it.
Yeah. Oh, and Dusty pulled him in this match.
Right, yeah, yeah.
For those of you guys that don't know what pulling is, it's basically when they take your legs around the turnbuckle, the metal post, and just ram your nuts into it.
That's right.
We used to call it pulling because we used to do that to guys on the train back in high school.
Yes, we did. Jesus. Oh, man.
We were bad.
Bad kids. Flag goes up, gets slammed. No, really, Tommy Young gets bumped into chaos. Of course, again, poor Tommy Young, referee, legendary referee Tommy Young, got bumped more times than Mick Foley in a ring, okay? It misses Dusty with a small package. It misses Dusty's small packaging Flair. Baby Doll tries to revolve the ref, but Flair rips off Rhodes' protective boot from the infamous Horseman attack earlier that year when they broke his ankle. We talked about to Starrcade. And waffles him with it. Tommy Young wakes up. 1, 2, 3, no. Flair goes at the Baby Doll. Dusty grabs the boot and nails Flair for the DQ.
Was he trying to kiss her or just, like, attack her?
He was trying to kiss her.
Okay.
He kind of sneak in. I don't want to hear he was trying to attack her because Baby Doll was a piece back then.
Yeah.
You know, it was a silly finish, but it could have been easily just ended with Flair getting the pin. But you know what? Still gets my, you know.
Still gets Dusty over.
Yeah.
Without winning the belt.
And it continues the feud, man.
It continues the feud.
Now, we get to the nitty-gritty of the card. The coup de grace, if you will. The Crockett Cup Tournament Finals. The Road Warriors versus Magnum T.A. and Ronnie Garvin. Now, Animal and Jim Ross were on commentary here. I don't think we get that, though.
No. But you hear them.
You hear them, but they're supposed to be on commentary. The Crockett Cup was a $1 million tournament, 24 teams. This is your finals. Both teams are baby faces, but the Road Warriors, of course, play the heel because they're the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Facing the faces do a nice wrestling to the start. Ronnie Garvin gives Hawk a shot to the chest. Hawk goes nuts and stomps a mud hole in Ronnie Garvin at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The faces isolate Hawk. Animal gets the blind tag and jumps Magnum T.A. working his back.
He worked that boy over, man.
Yeah.
put a, you know, he put a whooping on him.
He most certainly did. Animal catches him with a bear hug. Hawk works Magnum's back further with a Canadian backbreaker. Didn't know Canadian. Well, I guess because he's Canadian.
But, I don't know, maybe be, you know.
I didn't see any.
What's the difference?
I didn't see any variety difference in the backbreaker. But
was he holding his leg like Canadian bacon as ham?
Right. I was reading a review and the guy wrote Canadian backbreaker and I wrote in my notes, it's Canadian backbreaker? What? It's a backbreaker. Magnum tries desperately a sunset flip. Jim Ross
probably kept saying I'm sorry while he was doing it. Oh, I'm sorry, eh?
Sorry, eh? You hoser. Now, Magnum's doing the sunset flip. Jim Ross actually brings up Tiger Mask in the one version of this tape. Magnum reverses a whip and gets a belly-to-belly suplex. Hawk makes the save. If Hawk didn't make the save, there would have been a match right there.
Yeah.
Garvin gets up for the hot tag, goes for the abdominal stretch. Hawk shrugs his way out of it. Garvin instinctively hits a punch to the head, re-injuring the hand that was injured by Tully Blanchard on Anderson and J.J. Dillon. They beat him with a boot. They took his hand. They wrapped it around a pole of one of the ring posts, and they beat him with a shoe, and busted his hand
like Ike.
Yeah, but it's on the network. So re-injured his hand.
Yeah, because I was like, did he get legit hurt? Did he break his hand?
They thought that because he was the hand of stone. Tully Blanchard said that, you know, it was loaded, so they figured we're going to break your hand, and then you don't have to load it no more. It was Tully Blanchard who initiated that. So, again, good build-up to this because, you know, if I would have known about this build-up last week, I would have told you to watch all of them.
Yeah.
I watched like 8 hours of NWA between my rides home yesterday and today. Oh, yesterday and Wednesday. So, and I was like, I don't want to make you. I know you're busy. I don't want to make you watch 8 hours of wrestling. You don't have a shitty commute. I do.
But basically, after Ronnie Garvin punched him in the head, he was sitting there. Magnum TA came in like to check on him. Hawk tagged Animal. Animal comes in, gives a clothesline, and puts him down for the 1-2-3.
Yeah, good psychology in the finish of this, you know. Yeah. And it was a different kind of match.
That's why I thought he got legit hurt because he just a clothesline. You know, Ronnie Garvin's going to kick out of a clothesline, so I thought he was legit hurt.
He re-injured the hand in storyline. Like I said, good psychology to this. Psychology lacks in pro wrestling now, by the way. And I'll get into that in another show, but it's not the usual Road Warriors shtick. They don't sell a lot. They're very stiff, but they did give. This face team, since they were technically faces, but they acted as heels, I think there was a mutual respect there for the gimmick. And for the sake of kayfabe, they fucking did a good job. I thought it was a decent match.
No, it was a decent. It was a great card. I'd like to find the whole thing.
That'll be our mission. That'll be our mission.
A lot, if you go back and watch this, a lot of the matches, they just cut and flip the tape.
Yeah.
So out of the 5-minute match, you'll watch 2 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole tournament, as we ran down, 24, was it 8, 16? Yeah, we ran about 20 matches, but it's only 22 with the title matches. It's only 2 hours on the video.
Right, because they cut a bunch of it.
Yeah.
They cut a bunch.
We've probably been there for like 6 hours watching the whole thing.
Well, that's the thing, man. We could have did it. Put it this way. If I would have played all the clips of the build-ups between the Pez Watley and Jimmy Valiant, between Jimmy Garvin and Wahoo McDaniel, between Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Ricky Morton, Ronnie Garvin, Tully Blanchard, you know, Arn Anderson defended his TV title against like him and Sam Houston had a program for a minute. Manny Fernandez was involved in some stuff. I mean, he was teaming up with one of the Guerreros. Like it was, you know, it was because guys were coming in and out. So the tournament was a way to just to book all the territories, pretty much, outside of Northeast, obviously. You had Southwest, you had Midwest, you had Mid-South, you had Pacific Northwest, and you had the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, you had five different territories at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so it was good, you know, and I can't believe it's 30 years old next week.
Right.
But we're getting old, you know.
Adjust the tracking on your VCR when you're watching this, fellas.
That's all. That's all. Just adjust the tracking. But that's our throwback this tonight, man. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I you know,
this is just a taste of the NWA. It's, you know, it's really cool now that the network has acquired all this stuff. And I know some of the music is edited, but however, if you can sit yourself through some of these World Championship Wrestling NWA Saturday Night episodes, you can really get a taste of why these things were so fun to watch, because there was so much, there was great build up. And some of his talent was amazing, huh?
The story, yeah. Plus, you hit it so many times. The stories, the storylines, the build up, the feuds, how long they were going on.
That's
just
right. Yeah.
The finishes, you know, with so many. The second Crockett Cup, the 87 one.
We did that one already.
Right, but that had the last man standing steel cage match
with Tully Blanchard and Magnum PA. That's on my YouTube page.
Ole Anderson.
Ole Anderson, right? I'm sorry.
And the Big Boss Man.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. That was the Tully Blanchard Magnum TA match was the Great American Bash when Magnum took the piece of chair and dug it in Tully's head. Yeah. Go back and watch that.
All right.
But yeah, but the 87 one we have on YouTube. That's the whole thing. I have that. I have it on video cassette. I converted it. So I bought that from highspots.com like 10 years ago. So that's pretty much it. But it's just a thing where you know, anytime you get a promotion like that, when the NWA gets involved and you have all those territories in a tournament, you get such a contrast of styles.
Yeah, and you get dream matches.
Right. You get the Fantastics and the Midnight Express and the Sheepherders and the Road Warriors. And you're like, oh, my God, this is just rock. You know, it's just incredible, you know.
I mean, it puts guys in the ring that you might not ever see in the ring together, even if they're just facing each other.
And this was the nucleus of, you had the Fabulous Ones. They never wrestled over there before. Like, this is before Stan Lane became Midnight Express. But you have the nucleus of Tully and Arn. That's the first time they tagged regularly.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that until you just said it. But yeah, I mean, these things can generate so much interest, so many things.
You got
it. And back then, it just, you know, meant more than it does today.
I feel you, homie. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. We could start pulling this train in.
Yep, Casey Jones, wind her down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're a deadhead?
I wouldn't say I'm a deadhead. I'm a fan, but I've never been to a concert.
I have terrible memories of those guys. Like, I used to work for, when you and I were hanging out back in the day, I had two or three jobs or whatever it was. And one of my jobs, I worked in a tuxedo place, like a warehouse.
Yeah.
Where I was the guy, if you rented a tuxedo, I was the guy who cleaned the shoes for you and set when you rented them. So
you go home and get your shine box.
You motherfucking mutt. Go home and get your shine box. Keep them here, you mutt. Anyway, quick story. The guys in there were all deadheads, including the drivers. They would drive. They would deliver all the tuxedos to all the different stores that, you know, you rented them from.
Right.
And they were all deadheads. And they brought in these bootleg cassettes, and these guys were so stoned on their tapes. The dead were so stoned that all their instruments were out of tune.
I believe it.
So 2.5 hours of these tapes, you're like, oh, please just break, do something. Like, please get caught in the get the tape caught in the thing.
Please eat the tape.
It was so bad. Like the guitars were out of tune, and like they'd go on these like 10-minute jam sessions. And you could tell, like, they were all out of tune, man. It was like, oh, it was just the worst. So my stepfather's a huge deadhead. Like, he's got tattoos and ties and everything. I'm like, I can't mess with those guys. I can't. So, anyway, that's that awful Grateful Dead story of the night. He said, Nature Boy said, when are you going to do a throwback on GLOW?
We actually did. Yeah, so, Little Egypt.
Little Egypt. We actually did a whole episode on GLOW, and then we interviewed Little Egypt. So you, Nature Boy, my friend, can go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our back content, and you could tell, and you could watch it. I mean, you could listen to it. I'm sorry, not watch it.
You could watch it if you put it on.
You could watch it
on the screen and watch the bar go.
Yeah, absolutely.
The timer ticking.
But we definitely did a GLOW episode, and we had Little Egypt on, so go listen to that. That was a good episode, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Me and another guy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That guy.
That fucking guy, right?
Yeah.
That guy. All right, so listen, let's get out of here, man. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, like I said, get all your footage there. All our back catalog is there. All of it. RantEamRadio.com, great shows. Tomorrow night, the Wrestling Call-In Show, Mr. Will I Am Morgan. And then Monday night, of course, it's the Talk Brunch Peeps. Rick Darrow, Mick Wrestling, Jen, and the crew. Getting ready for another happening episode of Talk Brunch.
I think Pri is back from her honeymoon.
Pri's back. Oh, she got married. Good for her. Congratulations. In between that, we have Surfer and Jordan on Sunday. With the What Are You Reading comic book show, I think, right?
Yep.
Okay. Tuesday, The Rant with Double A, Tony C, and the crew. I'm sure you'll probably jump on there.
Yeah, I'll probably back around, yeah.
Let's see. What else we got going on? Let me check my notes here. So, yeah, we got that. And then, of course, after that's Freaks, Death, and Geeks. I think Rage is going to be solo this week, right?
No.
Oh, no?
Tank is filling in.
Tank's filling in?
Tank is filling in.
No shit.
Yeah, somebody's got to wake him up.
Oh, my God. Somebody please wake him up.
I'll take care of it.
Thank you. Oh, God, that's going to be a shit show. Yeah. Oh, God bless
Rage
him.
And Tank together.
Oh, my God, I can only imagine. All right.
I can't understand a word from either of them.
Rant and Wrestling, of course, after that. And then back to us again. Don't forget May 1st, 3 years of the Rant. 3 years, Rant EM Radio. And that'll be coverage for also, was that Payback?
Yes.
I'll be in Florida, but I'll be checking in.
That'll be Payback.
Yes. Go check out all of the shows, all our friend shows, I should say, on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com and the Shining Wizards Network. Go check them all out. They're just fantastic. And the Midnight Jury and all the, I mean, just support everybody. Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Bloke Show, all those guys. Shell Pod. I mean, there's so many to mention now. Thumbstick Ninjas. Go get them all. They're fantastic. So, anyway.
Nature Boy, I just linked you to the Glow Show.
Thank you.
Episode 83.
Thank you. For Kid Newman on the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding you all, please, please take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word unless you're on Esther. Okay? Hug your moms. Be nice to animals.
Walk Like an Egyptian was the...
Yes. And then the episode before that is the Glow episode, too, I think. So, guys, take care. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Don't step on the crack. Don't break your mother's back.
Please, don't do any of that stuff.
Spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah.
That one's taken. Sorry.
Seriously, guys, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We'll see you next week. Right, Scotty?
Yeah, we'll be here.
All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.